MLB goes on. Yeah, hot, yeah, it's LA coming at you a little bit later. Sorry for the delay. Was picking up a bar tab and freaking next thing you know, 7:20. What are you going to do? First week of the NFL season. Brian Engel's back with us. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
Oh. The fans are not liking it. I don't know why. First week back in the NFL. Now I'm freaking addicted. Yesterday, I spent all day after watching film all day, spending watching bad college games, good college games, and then I got stuck watching Wyoming versus Air Force. After our victory, though, second victory, 2-0, we beat Rosemead Panthers, Battle of the Panthers, beat them 27-14. Rod Marinelli Field. Rod Marinelli, defensive coordinator for your own Dallas Cowboys.
Was it Panthers versus Panthers?
Panthers versus Panthers. So, you know, it was a lot of the, show them where the real Panthers are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, love the friggin' pregame speeches, although they don't mean anything. It's all about getting on the field and executing. But first week of the NFL season, did you watch the Patriot game?
I watched what I thought were the Patriots, but that was not what I was watching.
Miserable. I went on here on this very program last week talking about the Patriots have turned a corner, but it's the same things that have plagued them for the last 6 years. Lack of consistent pass rush. Abandon the run game way too early. Small receivers. Lack of mobility / protection for Tom Brady. And again, is when push comes to shove, they end up just pissing over the leg. And you look, it's easy to say that in with the run the Patriots have had, so but just it boils my blood all the time just watching Bill Belichick sitting there with his arms folded, with his arms on his side. You know, the so-called fucking genius, the so-called defensive genius, give up 33 points to the Dolphins, who had 5 new offensive linemen starting.
And no, yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Patriots are awful. That's no Sean Moreno again, just running all over him.
Miami had no linebackers either, right?
And they kept beating that point into our head about how they had 3 starting linebackers down. And the Patriots decide to abandon the run game. I can't even watch the Patriots freaking try to run the ball. Everything's lateral. You watch all these other teams that downhill with everything. Patriots are lateral with everything. Try to run the outside zone, inside zone with everything.
Am I wrong? I don't remember the Patriots ever having, other than like clock killing Corey Dillon, anyone that's been like a fantastic running back that kind of can take a game over, like what we saw with No'Shawn and what you see with the guy in Seattle. Like all these guys kind of seem, you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, so-so for the most part.
Ridley.
Yeah.
Vereen. Yeah. I like Vereen, but just give him the fucking rock enough, you know, and Bolden. I don't know. They just don't freaking, they get away from the run game. They give the little jet sweep to Edelman, let Edelman run for 15 yards, never run it again. I've never been a fan of Josh McDaniels. Go freaking look at the catalog, listen to the catalog. I've never been a fan of what they do. You could talk about statistics and all that. It's because they have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but they sit him back there and freaking sit and duck guys like Cameron, a.k.a. Derek Wake, whom I worked with at Penn State for a little bit. And you know, these guys just tee off, and the Patriots just cannot generate a pass rush. Regardless, so frustrating to watch, and I hate Dolphins fans. Dolphin fans are the douchiest of the fucking fans.
They are, the most, for the most part, what are they, New York Jewish people down there? Is that what they are?
I don't know, but you look at the stands, and it was empty.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of stands, I could not believe watching the Cowboys today, because they force us, there's only 2 games on, because for some reason, CBS thinks that people want to watch women's tennis and they want to watch the U.S. Open. And it's like anybody fucking cares about Serena Williams winning a fucking Grand Slam in like an hour. But they decide not to put 2 games on at the 4 o'clock slot, which out here, you know, it's a 1 o'clock slot, which is prime time.
Yep.
So they put 2 games on. We had to watch. We were forced to watch the Cowboys 49ers. As a Cowboy employee, What do you have to say about that whole stadium being red and that whole stadium pulling for the 49ers?
As I told you beforehand, it's the number one traveled to opposing stadium. So for the most part, everybody is, you know, going there, if that's on your schedule and you want to go somewhere, you want to go there as opposed to go to Tampa Bay if you're, you know, want to watch your team. So there's a shitload of people in there from the other teams. Last year I was at a Pittsburgh game and it looked like all I saw was the terrible towels everywhere. I mean, it sucks. It creates kind of a bad environment, but you know, to go to a Cowboys game, regular tickets are about $345. So if you want to go every day,
$345 for one ticket, one seat.
Yeah, in a good area. Yeah, but you know they do have the Budweiser Pavilion where it's, you know, I think it's five or $20 somewhere in there, and you can get in there and it's standing room only. But that screen's so goddamn big that you just sit there and stare at the whole thing anyways. So you might as well, you know, you're better off paying less money and watching the screen than paying $345 and sitting down low.
Jerry has no control over the tickets as far as. Because I know, what was it, Seattle? One of the teams last year was putting in some kind of thing where you couldn't buy a ticket online if your credit card or your debit card wasn't within a certain area code. Jerry, you can't do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that they probably would love to have their season ticket holders not do it. But, you know, as long as somebody's buying the seats, I think that's ultimately at the end of the day, they got to make money. And
they're going to sell them anyway, no? $345 a fucking head. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Oh, man. Dude, when you go to games, what do you sit? Do you stay on the sideline?
No. I go, we go to this box that they kind of have for the merchandising folks.
And is it the same box that they showed a touchdown by San Fran today, and one of the fucking Joneses was just chomping on a big piece of chicken while San Fran just scored? Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
No, it's not that one. It's that's kind of in a level by itself. It's not in the top row of boxes. It's in the lower bowl. But, you know, the Cowboy Stadium has 300 suites, every single one sold out every single game. Average NFL stadium has 75 suites, and about 75% of those suites sell out every game. So, I mean, you know, there's people in there, and those suites go for, you know, $500,000 a year and more, so.
Mr. Merchandiser, tell me, are you going to start selling Michael Sam jerseys?
At some point, if he goes active, absolutely.
You can't sell the, is there a rule as far as the practice squad jerseys, you can't sell them?
Not exactly positive, but, you know, I was one of the guys or talking to my boss, and I said, let's break a rule and sell it. Because, I mean, people do want it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, but,
well, it's not that crazy. A lot of gays out there.
Yeah, but I mean, how people want it before he's even done anything on the team. People just, you know, if he never made an active roster and I could sell the jerseys, people would buy them regardless. So.
You're not going to, he's going to have to wait till he's on the team.
Yeah, but I would suspect he'll be active, I would say, what, week three when they play the Rams?
Why? You think there's going to be a big pop there?
Yeah, of course. Be like a ratings bonanza.
Oh, Rams could have used them today. I couldn't believe the Rams came out and laid such a fucking egg. Ugh, Minnesota, look, I've said this for years, and I've said this on the archives of the program. Norv Turner knows what the fuck he's doing. I would love to see Norv Turner calling the plays for the Patriots instead of freaking Josh McDaniel.
Just can't be a head coach, right?
Right. Have him call the plays. You're the man. Oh, shit. Freaking little plug for Saucy. Saucy app fucking delivering freaking alcohol right to our doorstep. Took us about freaking 14 minutes to get a freaking half rack of Bud Lights from Saucy.
Speaking of half rack, do you remember Party Balls?
Of course. They don't make them anymore?
No, but that was like right around your heyday. Like drinking.
Yes, it was. It was. My heyday. They don't even make them anymore. Unreal. But they have apps where you can get beers delivered on freaking point. That was great.
It's amazing.
Oh, it is amazing. We live in a funny age. Minnesota looking great, and Pat's got Minnesota next week in Minnesota. Oh, the Pat's looking at 0-2. Pat's haven't lost a season opener. And once they start throwing out these stats, and I'm always one of these guys that says teams are due, and I felt like the Pats were due this week to freaking lose because they hadn't lost in the season opener.
10 years, right?
2003, 11 yeah. years. Yeah, they won 10 in a row. Now, people are like, oh, the bright side is they won the Super Bowl that year. But I don't know. The NFL is changing. The NFL is changing, and it is not for the benefit, the betterment, if you will, of the New England Patriots.
Am I right? The Patriots seem like they're they look like the same team constantly.
Yeah.
And everybody else is evolving. We've got Tommy Terrific standing back there.
Like a statue.
Yeah. And I mean, I love him. Don't get me wrong.
Me too. Oh, please.
I love his facial hair. And just, it looks like everybody else is changing the game, and Belichick and Brady are kind of still doing the same shit. And
you got to get a quarterback who can get out of there. And you're seeing it. You just at least be able to move. And Tom does a decent job for his clumsiness of kind of getting out of it. But you sit him back there and you commit to that, you know, a little play action, and then you got Derek Wake freaking burying down on him. Oh, not encouraging. Not encouraging. Not to say the Patriots aren't going to be 11-5, 12-4, and win the AFC East. I still believe they will. But after watching Seattle, Green Bay on Thursday night, Patriots aren't even the same class of a team like Seattle. Ah, man, it seems like it's Seattle and everybody else.
Who's in that kind of A-plus, like Seattle, Denver? Is that it up in that top? I mean, would you put San Fran or just Seattle?
I think San Fran is due for a swoon, as I articulated last week. But, yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like Seattle, Denver in a rematch. And you know, I watched the CBS program, the revamp CBS Football Today, NFL Today, with Bart Scott, which I thought that was curious, and Tony Gonzalez being on there. And they went around, they gave the predictions right before, and three of the four said New England, what was it? Bart Scott said New England, Chicago, which I think was ludicrous. Boomer said New England, New Orleans, which is feasible. And someone else said New England, Seattle, with New England winning it. And Tony Gonzalez, one of them, says that rematch from last year, the two best teams in football, Seattle and Denver. And I think that's true, unfortunately.
Don't you want one more Super Bowl, though? Just give me one more.
Ah, fuck. You always want championships as teams, you know what I mean? As a fan of a team, you always want to, but shit, there's no way the Patriots fucking can win the Super Bowl in this NFL climate. Nah. Not the way they're doing it right now.
That was funny. I was talking to my brother, and he's like, just give me one more. That's it. Everybody just wants that one more, just the taste.
It's been fucking 10 years since they won the Super Bowl. It's going to be, yeah, this is 10 years.
Oh, yeah. I was in Arizona the last time we were out there against the Giants, and that's probably the most depressed I've been outside of, you know, probably same for you, out of any event I've ever watched.
And you know what? I've never really been, the worst was the freaking Tyree catch. That was a worse.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the game.
That was the game you were at?
Yeah. No, I didn't go. I was in Arizona for the doing some other shit, acting like an idiot. But my brother spent $1,500, sat, I think, like three rows from the top, and had to watch that Tyree catch.
Ugh. $1,500. Shit, kid, that's fucking half what I make in a month. I couldn't even do that. I can't even think of that shit. Going down the games today, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, they will not fucking stop referencing, innuendoing, talking about Manziel. They show in the highlights at the halftime. This is Brian Hoyer, who's playing ahead in front of Johnny Manziel. Fucking drives you mad. Pittsburgh takes that game. I don't care what anyone says. Brian Hoyer is a solid quarterback. And Cleveland is going to be all right. But I tell you what, the highlight of that game was Antonio Brown throwing that fucking heel kick to the face of that punter. You see that shit?
Yeah.
Perfect form. He should probably be suspended for it, but I thought it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he tried to hop over him.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, fuck it. Boom. It's a violent game. I'm going to fucking kick him in the fucking grill piece. I love it.
I got a scenario for you.
Yep.
Romo having that first half that he had. Manziel on the sideline holding the clipboard. Do you know how insane it would have been? The people would have been clamoring for him, and the announcers would have been literally wetting their pants.
But that's what Dallas needs, because now everyone's sitting in Dallas and just sitting on them as being, oh, here comes Dallas, going to be 8-8, going to be 7-9. There's no pop there for Dallas. You as a jersey salesman. Imagine Johnny Manziel and freaking Michael Sam starting for the same squad.
I'd be emotional.
Yeah, you'd be making money, kid. No, wouldn't that pack your pockets?
Yeah, it'd be amazing. It'd be a lot of different things. So, but you know, ultimately, whatever those guys do, if the team, anyone's team, or whatever brand you have, makes it to the Super Bowl and wins, that trumps any player specifically. So,
you think so?
Yeah.
Really? Even if they have a guy, say you're Michael Sam and Johnny Manziel selling jerseys for, you think the Cowboys will sell more jerseys? There's no way they're going to win the Super Bowl. But if they won the Super Bowl this year,
if they won the Super Bowl or any team won the Super Bowl without a marquee guy, I think that you or like those kind of guys. But if you had, you know, Romo and Dez and whoever it is, a Tom Brady, I do think that you would sell way more jerseys going into, you know, January and February accumulatively than you would with two guys that are hot right now.
I don't know. I think it's just the effect of the whole season and the whole fucking preseason optimism that people are going to play well and do well. I think they're going to put their money behind that. And then you win the Super Bowl. Yeah, people are going to buy jerseys for the next year. But shit, there's 16, 17 weeks to sell merchandise. But what do I know? You're the merchandising guy. Evidently. Speaking of merchandising, RG3 had this huge merchandising. Blowing Jay Gruden as this offensive guru. I love these guys that are offensive gurus, but Washington goes out and puts up fucking 6 points today.
Squids.
6 points. And RG3 was like 30 or 38. And it's amazing to me that a team like Washington with Johnny Manziel in the brain, RG3, they can't do anything more than that.
RG3 throws a pretty ball. First of all, I gotta say that. I don't know. Is Jay Gruden as good as they say he's going to be?
He's been at freaking Cincinnati, who's always been freaking a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
And they've always had good defense in the last, always 2-3 years. And then Washington comes out and puts up 6 against Houston. And now all of a sudden, it just seems like in the last couple of days, all of a sudden everybody's saying J.J. White's like the best defensive end ever.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. Because they're comparing him. Yeah, my brain scrambled. They're comparing him to Reggie White.
Yeah.
They're saying he's as good as Reggie White was at his prime.
He's a beast, man.
He is a force. He is a force. Speaking of force, freaking Clowney, injury, meniscus. Kid could be done.
Kid's a stud. I hope he comes back. He's an exciting guy to watch.
I think he's just too physically gifted. I think those guys that are too physically gifted are just injury prone. You know, they're made so fucking well. I think RG3 is kind of the same way. They're just made so well that they can just pull a thread on them,
mm-hmm.
and the shit's over. And the freaking Redskin thing will just never go away. And there's a bunch of protesters outside. And in this internet age, everybody loves to throw this fucking term out. And someone's big sign said, Hitler called the Jews Redskins. It's like everybody in the internet age loves to say, Hitler did this. Did he really fucking call the Jews Redskins? Why? I know a lot of Jews, and they're all fucking paler than me. I'm more of a Redskin than fucking any Jew I've ever met. And I could say that because my niece is a Jewish.
How's that?
What do you mean, how's that? My brother's married to a Jewish woman.
Oh.
My brother doesn't listen, but if he did... Great woman. Great woman, by the way. And everybody was on Chicago's balls coming in today, too. Jay Cutler, I read a list of NFL players who's going to win the MVP. It was like Adrian Peterson and, Peyton Manning. And Jay Cutler was third.
The worst.
And I don't know if he's the worst, but why does everybody get fucking hyped up about Jay Cutler every year? At home, they drop it to Buffalo 23-20.
You don't want to be losing to Buffalo ever.
At home. But I like what Buffalo does. I've said this for a while. I think the Pats are going to have trouble with Buffalo because Buffalo makes a commitment to run the football.
Yeah, but weren't we just shitting on EJ Manuel a couple weeks ago?
Of course. I shouldn't. But if they're having him, quote-unquote, manage the game, giving the ball to CJ Spiller. And Fred Jackson, I've always been a big Fred Jackson fan. They love throwing the Coke College reference out for Fred Jackson. But Buffalo plays defense and runs the fucking football. It's not a fucking mystery. Patriots, fucking play defense and run the football. Don't throw the ball 56 times. You don't win that way. Even though they call every little freaking penalty. The hands of the face. I didn't realize the hands of the face was going
to
be such a big deal.
Can you explain that to me?
What?
Just these penalties seem like they're... Like this shit's going to be two-hand touch by next year.
I know. Everybody says that.
Were the guys blasting the guys in the face that much last year as opposed to this year? It's different?
The hands in the face has always been a thing. They always smack people. But the NFL came out this week, Roger Goodell and his face-saving efforts. Concussions were down 13% last year. 13% concussions were down. And helmet-to-helmet concussions were down 23%. So that is the focus. And you can say, two-hand touch all you want. It's still fucking vicious individuals blasting each other in the face. But don't know. That's
speaking of, speaking of that, did you see the USC game yesterday?
Yeah.
Guy for Stanford's going out of bounds. And I was, I never played, but I can assume it's always a gray area because you don't know if the guy's going to kind of run out or if he's going to juke back in. It's kind of a, I don't know, gray area where you've got to hit the guy.
Absolutely.
Anyways, USC guy hits him really hard, helmet to helmet, gets thrown out of the game.
Ridiculous. And when that prompted the ESPN tsunami and the Twitter tsunami of Pat Hayden coming down. Pat Hayden coming down the sideline. And what I think is, first and foremost, I think the ADs should be on the sideline for every fucking game. I think the ADs need to act in that administrative role. I think the ADs need to be out there lobbying referees. Those are the politicians. Those are the freaking, you know what I mean? Those are the business guys. They shouldn't be up sitting in the booth eating hot dogs with the Jones family. They should be down in the field lobbying. They should be down in the field making sure guys get back and don't freaking jump on the field.
You're almost like a coach or like an assistant coach of some
fucking
kind.
Fucking A. They run the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's top down. Everything's top down. And as far as football goes, the AD is the guy who's in charge of this shit. Especially a guy like Hayden, who's a Southern California football legend, mm-hmm. should be there anyway. And I actually liked it. And even though I think Sarkisian's kind of a freaking, lack of a better word, douchebag, I think it was great. I think it's the best thing they've done in a while.
It seems weird that he's got, I don't know, not bad press about it, but it seems like it's news making nonetheless. But you're right. I think he did the right thing.
I think they absolutely should be there all the time. They should be there all the time lobbying those referees. You got to work the referees in some way, shape, or form. And you don't have to be rude. You just work them. You know, get to know them. Pat Hayden should know every one of the referees' names and should be talking to them on a first-name basis. Mm-hmm. Pat Hayden knows what the fuck's going on. It's not like the lady at Penn State now who, you know, they hired a volleyball coach. Pat Hayden's a football guy. Pat Hayden should be in there. Hey, Jim, you missed that call. Hey, Jim, this, that, yeah. Bah, 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 this guy's wearing a towel. He shouldn't be wearing a towel. This guy spat it up. He shouldn't be spat it up. That type of shit.
I think he has a guy that's on staff, J.P. McKay, the old coach, John McKay's son. And so he's some sort of liaison, and you do see him down on the field kind of doing little glad hand.
But the referees look at that guy and like, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean? And they know who Pat Hayden is.
Yep.
I think it's a great move. But, I that was one of those games, and I should get back into gambling. I said that all the time. But Stanford won 17 home games in a row. You know, and once you lose, like the Patriots win 10 openers in a row, you're due to lose. Mm-hmm. And Stanford just, I think if they play USC 10 times, I think Stanford wins that game 7-8. It's just one of those things where Stanford freaking shit over themselves in the red zone. Couldn't get it done when it needed to get it done. SC's a pretender this year. There's no way they win the whole thing. Pac-12, man.
It seems like people are very hyped up on them, and they basically won a gimme game. Like, Stanford should have won that thing by 15, 20 points easy.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing what one win does to kind of, you know, get everyone talking about you.
Right. It's such a fluid situation. The whole thing's freaking madness. Michigan State, Oregon. Speaking of Pac-12, Michigan State, Oregon was a great one, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick of everyone talking about Big Ten. Although the Big Ten looked awful yesterday. The Big Ten had all types of shit against them. What they had Nebraska on a last-second play.
Barely, yeah.
Well, not last second, but beat McNeese State at the end. And Wisconsin barely beating Western Illinois. Iowa barely beating Ball State. Northwestern losing to Northern Illinois. Shit, Purdue getting blown out by Central Michigan. Do you think it's one of those things where, and people say it, and I try to fight it because, you know, I'm from the cold weather and I'm quasi Big Ten guy. Do you think it's a day and age where the Big Ten has just lost it?
Possibly, but also, I mean, those games like you talk about, what's his name? Herbstreit was saying that these schools need to stop scheduling these cupcake games. But if you're a kid at one of these little schools and you're going up against a big school, it's your Super Bowl versus the big schools, you know, they're not into it. It'd be like if Chelmsford was playing Wilmington. Wilmington gets all amped up for Chelmsford. Chelmsford doesn't give a shit. You could get a random loss.
Yeah, I don't know if your analogy is all that apropos, but I understand what you're saying. But those kids, you're still looking at 50, 60 scholarship athletes who can still fucking play. And coaches, look, I don't care what anyone says. Coaches are better at the college level than they are in the NFL. Look at the shit that went on with the Seahawk-Green Bay game. They ran that little inside zone read, and then they brought Russell Wilson to tack the edge, and they hit him on that freaking little... Mm-hmm. Did you watch the game?
Yeah.
And they're like, bro, brilliant. Pete Carroll is a fucking genius. Shit, kid, we were running that shit in 2003.
He admitted he got that from a...
Yeah, we were running that same fucking play in 2003 at Holy Cross. They're better coaches in college than they are in the NFL.
He said they got it from Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, and Auburn just did it last year, but we run the same fucking play at Holy Cross. You know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden, it's just... Look at all these guys who are quote-unquote professional coaches because you're getting... That's how you live and that's how you feed your fucking family and yourself. Mm-hmm. Those guys are just as smart, if not smarter, than those fucking nepotism than Kyle Shanahan, whose last name is Shanahan, and his column plays for the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I've said this forever. But I tell you who should not be calling plays and who doesn't call plays is Brady Hoke. What a fucking hoke is in joke. Michigan is a fucking shambles. You got ran out of the building versus Notre Dame. You watch that game?
Yeah, dude. They got smoked. What, first?
First shutout first since 1984.
But there was a lot of, like, people loved Hoke a couple years ago. Am I hallucinating? Or he kind of, when he came over from San Diego State, he was a Michigan man and all this bullshit. But the guys at San Diego State, I was living out in San Diego at the time, they were all, like, Kyle Turley and those people said that he was, you know, a coward for leaving. But at the end of the day, all these guys are salesmen. They'll be out, you know, raising money for San Diego State, and then they leave the next day. So that's just how it is.
If the guy doesn't have a headset on, which, you know, I don't really like headsets. I think that's an overrated thing. But he's not calling plays, and he has no headset on. He's a fucking cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Brady Hoke is a fucking cheerleader. And the countdown is on until Jim Harbaugh fucking takes over that program. The writing's on the wall, right?
Yeah,
Jim Harbaugh
yeah.
is going to be the next head coach in Michigan. Deservedly so. He's got fucking shit. Devin Gardner, fucking number 98. I can't believe he's still talking. He's still wearing 98.
Dude, chill out. Just go back to the regular.
Yeah, go back to your regular number.
But question, why is it Hoke's personal preference not to wear a headset and do shit like that? I mean, I know... God, what was the guy's name? Guy at San Diego State before him, Kraft, was a head coach, and he was the same way. And people ripped him apart because, like you said, he was out of touch and whatever. Is that just the way that those guys are brought up coaching, or they don't like shit on their ears, or what's the problem?
I completely understand it because you got all types of fucking voices in your head. And if you're going to actually be calling something, I can appreciate it. But if you're not calling anything... I do think you need to know what's going on. If you're calling plays, you don't need some asshole in your head being like, oh, 58 just missed that block. If we next play.
So can a guy call a play? If I'm Brady Hoke and I got no headset on and I'm watching, can I call a play and tell, you know, the guy or somebody next to me to call it into the quarterback? Or do I need the guy up in the booth talking down to me, telling me what he's seeing as well? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, they can just call it in a quarterback. But the point is, Brady Hoke doesn't know what the fuck is being called. He has no fucking clue. He's a cheerleader. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you at least have the headset on and you're not calling plays, which is fine, which is what the majority of the guys do. Mm-hmm. Majority of the guys, well, I wouldn't say majority, but a good percentage of them sit there and just kind of... But there would be a point in the game where you'd be like, no, don't fucking call that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm the fucking head coach. But Brady Hoke's not doing that. He's just kind of clapping hands. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get shut out by Notre Dame.
So who's telling the kid, if I'm quarterback at Michigan, is it the guy in the booth that's telling me? Or who's telling me what the fuck to run?
Well, it's probably the offensive coordinator, whoever. Regardless, he could be in the booth or he could be on the sideline.
It really sounds like head coach is almost like a glorified
cheerleader.
Yeah.
Administrator. Yeah. Pat Hayden, if you will.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's the same thing with a guy like Hoke. You know, there's got to be a point where the head coach would be like, no, fuck that. We're going to run this play. And that was always the thing about Paterno. Everybody was like, oh, Paterno, he doesn't know what he's doing. Joe always had the fucking plays in his pocket, and he would grab the freaking, and you could see it on the sideline. He would grab the offensive coordinator and be like, run this shit right now. And got like pretty hooked. He's just fucking jumping around cheerleading. Notre Dame's going to be there. You know, Notre Dame is going to be there. They have the schedule for it. Golston is back after a year off, which I think is actually probably a beneficial thing. I think a kid taking a year out of school and kind of, you know, sitting back. Not like he's sitting back. You know he's working.
He's out with that guy Whitfield doing all that shit.
You know he's with all type of quarterback gurus, yeah, if you will, running freaking shit and learning how to do it and just being more mature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Golston is going to be really great this year, and I think Notre Dame is going to be back.
ASU's playing Notre Dame at ASU this year. And so I don't know if you know how Notre Dame went into the ACC. They had to change their schedule a little bit. They had two home games against Rice and Temple and then the away game against ASU this year. They tried to drop the ASU game because, you know, those two games are gimmies against Rice and Temple at home. But ASU, like, took them to court and they had to keep the game. So ultimately it's huge for ticket sales, for all the shit that ASU is going to do fundraising-wise. I mean, there's a lot of people that come in for that game. So there, and then USC's back out here. No, then Notre Dame's playing USC out here the day after Thanksgiving.
USC's playing Notre Dame out here on the day after Thanksgiving?
You want to go?
Yeah. You got tickets?
Yep.
Fucking A, I'm going.
All
right. That's my 20th year reunion. I was floating on that. I'm like, shit.
You gotta go to the reunion, man.
Don't want to spend the $600 and fly back, you know? But no, fuck that. No, I don't care. I'm going to fucking ASU, USC.
Notre
Dame, USC.
Notre Dame, USC. Yeah, it'll be, you know, if USC continues to kind of win, I mean, they got BC this week, so that's, you know, they'll roll them. Then they got Oregon State. They got ASU after that. We could be looking at a huge, and if Notre Dame plays as they are, we could potentially have a huge national college game day, Herb Street, Lee Corso, everybody out here that day.
Well, I went to that USC Notre Dame game a couple years ago, and I was dating a 33-year-old virgin. Mm. Yeah, really, I know. Let me see. A 33-year-old ex-virgin. No. she big in Notre Dame. And that game was huge. Notre Dame was going for the undefeated season. Had that goal line stand. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, Manti.
Yeah, Manti Te'o team. Yeah,
I sold my tickets to that.
Yeah, this was a great game. How did Arizona State do? And don't talk too long about them. They win this week? What's their record?
They're 2-0. Beat Weber State, beat University of New Mexico. Bye week, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it is. They have a tough schedule. If you look at Stanford, USC, Notre Dame, at Washington State, I mean, not that Washington State means much, but I always think that guy Leach and playing way up in the middle of the woods up there is always a little bit harder than probably most people think.
You been up there?
No, because you got to fly into Moscow, Idaho, and then it's a little shitty airport. Then you've got to bus it 2.5-3 hours out to Washington State. There's no hotels out there. So it sounds like it could be, you know, kind of a trap situation.
Okay, college football is so much more fun to watch than fucking pro football. I'm telling you. College football, because in pro football, we've already nailed the four teams. College football is a fucking widespread. Who knows? You know what I mean? Oregon looks great. Florida State is vulnerable. You watch Florida State again, they're vulnerable. They're going to get beat. Maybe not in the ACC, but they're going to get beat.
Crab legs.
Yeah, crab legs. They're going to be beat. LSU's, you know, going to be beat. Oh, speaking of LSU, number one recruit in the country, Leonard Fournette, ran in a touchdown versus Sam Houston State and had the audacity to strike a Heisman pose. Did you see that shit? Ridiculous.
I love that shit?
A freshman versus Sam Houston State striking the Heisman pose. How dare you? And I'm not one of those guys that's really big on disrespecting the game, but he disrespected the game.
He did not. He did not.
Why not?
I remember when I was doing my 100-yard backstroke, which I'm so high, and I struck the Heisman in my Speedo. Well-received.
Please, yeah. Well, fine, but nobody's watching that shit on fucking camera, and everyone knows who Leonard Fournette is. Strikes a Heisman, less miles. Get control of your program.
I like it. I'm sorry.
Did
you love it when Desmond Howard did it?
Desmond Howard did it versus Ohio State after a big year, his junior year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did different, that shit.
You're right.
Completely different. It's the first touchdown this homie scores. the expression, act like you've been there before. Kid, just flip the ball. It's Sam Houston State. You know what I mean?
If the kid does win the Heisman in the next 3 or 4 years, they'll look back at it and be like, remember when he did this?
They'll be jerking off all over it. Mike Tirico and all them will be, he called it 4 years ago. Let's talk about Wes Welker. Let's get back to the program. Pro game. What the fuck happened with Wes Welker? I prefer to believe that he was popping fucking... It's become Molly. I always know as ecstasy. Same thing, right? E, ecstasy, Molly, same thing, no?
I'm not too sure, honestly. I've never done it.
Oh, you lie like a fucking rug. It's the same thing in my...
Molly is a cleaner version than ecstasy. Allegedly.
Hmm. Allegedly. But now it came out today. And look, I'm a big Wes Welker fan, somewhat. But it came out today he was taking Adderall. Fuck all that shit. Everybody knows that Adderall is fucking amphetamines. As a matter of fact, the generic name of Adderall is amphetamine salt. So why is Wes Welker fucking dropping in Adderall? Wes Welker has ADD. He can't study.
I don't get why is he getting suspended over either one of these things?
What do you mean? It's a banned freaking...
Why is it banned? Why is Adderall banned? How does it make them better? How does it do... Am I missing something here?
It's an amphetamine, kid. It fucking does make you... Look, I've taken Adderall.
You look like you're on it right now.
No, I don't. I'm on like fucking 8 Bud Lights. I've not taken Adderall. But Adderall does freaking sharpen you up. It fucking tightens the screws. No doubt about it.
Then what's wrong with that?
It's a banned substance.
Dude, I mean, all these guys are doing... Whether it be like, you know, all this protein shit or workout stuff.
5-hour energy.
Yeah. I don't get how you kind of draw the line. And you know that there's got to be lobbying to put some stuff on one side of it and the line and some, you know, on the other. I mean, ecstasy, who cares that he did ecstasy at the Kentucky Derby?
I think it'd be awesome if he did, by the way. And that would explain why the dude's fucking...
giving out money?
Dressed like Hunter S. Thompson, like a fucking miniature Hunter S. Thompson throwing fucking money. I love that shit. Don't get me wrong. You know, on a personal level, I think it's great. You know, I would love to party with Wes Welker. No doubt about it. But rules are rules, and he knows them. So why is he freaking even fucking around? He's like, anybody who knows me, I don't take anything. But you took Adderall, kid. And you know it's a fucking drug. It's made by fucking chemists. All that shit's made by chemists.
Yep.
The only thing that's not man is the herb. It's from the earth, man. It's from the earth, man. You're smoking weed to be better. Well, for him, I guess. Speaking of smoking herb and being banned, Josh Gordon selling cars. Fucking brilliant. Any fucking drug, anybody suspended from the NFL, any ex-NFL player should be selling cars.
Oh, yeah.
Would you buy a car from a guy like Josh Gordon?
I think it'd help with anything. I remember I was going to this sports show. Never forget it. And I was walking through, this booth after booth after booth. And I went by the Franklin booth. And in the Franklin booth up front, you know, some places have, you know, or some booths have models that'll like kind of, you know, get the guy in. And Herschel Walker's sitting there. Hey, how you doing? You want to talk about, you know, Franklin? Dude, I don't give a shit about Franklin, but I want to meet Herschel Walker. I keep walking. I forget. I go by this big and tall suit company, and I know you probably don't know. You do know who he is, but George Rogers. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he was running back for the Falcons, South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina. So he's sitting out front with his Heisman. I'd never seen a Heisman. Went up, you know, you kiss it, rub it, whatever the fuck you do the thing, and it was just interesting to, you know, kind of see and meet those guys. But if those guys are at the car dealership, yeah. if I was right. George Rogers trying to go sell a family an Aerostar, I'd walk out with my fucking Heisman right. and say, let's go test drive this bitch. You know, like that's what I'd do. Right. So I think it's a cool thing what they're...
I think it's great. I think they should all be fucking
insurance doing it. Salesman, whatever, man. But it's better that he's doing that, and it shows that he has a little bit, you know, sense left in him where he's not running out to California working out or whatever, spending all his money. He's there, and who knows? I mean, I'm assuming there has to be better options than selling cars in Cleveland for him. But, dude, sounds like, dude, all you've heard is good press about the guy.
I love it. As a school teacher, that just shows work ethic. Somebody's freaking, he's working. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to work. You know what I mean? He doesn't need to work. So he's going out and selling cars. Good for him. And now they're saying the NFL is going back and forth on this new drug policy with a higher threshold for weed, and they're going to eliminate amphetamines from PED, which is stupid because it is performance enhancement. Kidding. If you take a real fucking amphetamines, you're going through the roof.
But it could be mental. Tell you what, when I bring my fat ass down to the gym, if I don't take a five-hour energy mentally, I'm not right. But when I take it, it makes me feel better. All these guys are doing something, so let them do it.
You say that, but at the same time, that shit's made by chem. Real amphetamines will fucking put you through the roof, kid. So I don't think they should allow. But again, I'm one to say, fuck it. Let them do whatever the fuck they want. I really don't care. You know, let's just let the games go. You know what I'm saying? If the owner wants to drug test a guy for some reason, let him drug test a guy. But let him go. But if they're going to freaking, if Roger Goodell is going to freaking do that, I don't know. It's a gray area. Everything's a fucking gray area. I just like to say the word, I like to say the word phrase gray area about everything. It's not a gray area. The last 9 Super Bowl champions have not freaking won back to back since the Patriots went back to back in 2003, 2004. In the last 8, Steelers missed. Colts lost in the first round. Giants lost in the first round. Steelers missed. Saints in the first round. Green Bay in the first round. New York missed. Baltimore missed. No way Seattle misses the playoffs. No way Seattle doesn't represent the NFC. Just want to throw that nugget out there. I don't know if you want to friggin' throw it out, but one thing that friggin' watching that San Fran Seattle game, because that's a marquee game. You know, it kicks everything off, gets everything going. Yeah, this Sunday night selfie thing is driving me fucking nuts. Have you seen it?
No.
You didn't see it?
No.
It's a Sunday night selfies. They're all freaking, all the players and all the freaking cheerleaders are taking selfies before the games.
What does that mean? Like, are they...
What do you mean? They're just showing the selfie.
They're pictures. Showing the selfies on the NBC telecast?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And commercial breaks. Just showing self... throwing selfies.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. And fucking Carrie Underwood being replaced by... who is it? Carrie Underwood? I know.
Carrie Underwood's still doing it now.
No, they replaced her with someone else. Who was the other freaking woman? Someone... Call in and tell us.
There's no one else.
There's another one who looks the same fucking country western star doing something about that, but...
Dolly Parton.
I would love it if Dolly Parton was doing it. Don't they realize the guys who are actually watching this shit are fucking middle-aged jamokes like myself who fucking would much rather watch Dolly Parton or Pamela Anderson freaking just doing something on there instead of some kind of fucking... unobtainable 23-year-old country western star doing some kind of bullshit on there.
Yeah,
you would. Ray McDonald getting, you know, played today, beating up his wife. New NFL policy.
Bad timing for that guy.
New NFL policy. They just did it after the 6 games for the first one. And then what? Lifetime ban for the second one. But that shit is so subjective.
Yep.
You know, a guy like Ray McDonald and all his fucking players came out in favor of him. Not in favor of him, but backing him up. Like, hey, we didn't see shit. Nobody saw shit.
Of course they're going to say that, man.
Well, you should. And then all of them are going to be suspended as well for lying. Perjury. Perjury not a crime anymore.
No one's talking about Suge Knight. No one's coming forward on that.
What do you mean? What happened to Suge Knight?
He got shot 6 times. No snitching.
Did he again?
He did again, yeah. Guy's bulletproof.
Yeah, well, I talked about Suge Knight in this program before. I've had 2 former UNLV players on here before talking about Suge Knight. Loving him. Redskin name won't go away. The ESPN had to do a big poll. 71% of the population says keep the Redskins name. 23% says should change. Only 8% of the people said that in 1992.
Have you watched any of the Outside the Lines, you know, with Bob Lee? Mm-hmm. He had some people in from, I think it's called like the Black Tribe, or that's like the main tribe, but they had this guy on there that it was talking about that the name isn't bad and that the name is, you know, a source of strength and this and that. But they had that lady on there that's literally driving this thing, you know, like the one that's... kicking up the most dust and this, that, and the other thing. And she called the guy out. She said, how much money have the Redskins paid you? then he, you know, denied paying. But basically, the Redskins are going out now, glad-handing all these tribes, paying them off.
And, should.
Which is like anything. It's like Pat Hayden with the refs. Everybody kind of smoothes things out.
Fuck it. Right. If those people that, the groups that are that offended, pay them off. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. That's how capitalism works. I mean, is it really that hot? Are they really losing sleep over this shit? People really, you know what I mean?
Where were they 20 years ago?
Right. Nobody 25. Said, nobody said anything about shit.
Didn't say shit when they won the Super Bowl in like 84. So
give them money.
You're right.
Oh, fuck it. You know, hey, kid, I'll bitch about shit and give me 100 grand. Fuck, give me 10 grand. I'll shut up about anything.
Give me 10 bucks.
Give me 50 bucks and I'll stop doing this program. We've already been inundated with the commercials for the NFL season have been laid. And I appreciate them much more than like a rock, stand a narrow straight. Not fucking back in the day. But now we're getting inundated with just the commercials for the movies. I thought James Gandolfini died like fucking 10 years ago. But in this movie, The Drop, they keep
it looks good.
It does look good. And they're pounding us. How long ago did he die? It felt like a long time ago.
I would say.
It's gotta be a year ago, no?
Yeah, probably about a year ago. Yeah, he died. Last summer.
Yeah,
so.
Really? It feels like he's been gone a long time. And they just put these movies in the can.
Yeah, exactly. The guy passes away. It's just creepy. Fucking don't put your movie out.
Dolphin Tale 2. I can't believe we got Dolphin Tale 2. We got Morgan Freeman. And I just got over the Dolphin Tale commercial where he's like, swim! Now he's like, I love that fish. Fuck, dude. I can't watch these fucking commercials anymore. And the Hans and Franz. Although I love Hans and Franz, kid. I went to a
good commercial.
The first time I got drunk in my life, I went to a party. My boy's sister went to BC. This is probably like 91.
Already sounds terrible, BC. Yeah.
Why? Fucking BC's awesome. BC's fucking great. What's wrong with you? You party there?
I went down there a couple times. Didn't have success. A good
BC
time.
Is awesome.
What? It's all fucking kids in Jeep Cherokees, flannels, and Abercrombie jeans.
Yeah, exactly. And, but when you're 16, 15, 16 years old, and the first time I ever fucking really got drunk, I fucking went to a Saturday Live party, and we dressed these fucking Hans and Franz. And got fucking hammered and passed up and threw up all of my fucking gray Hans and Franz in Jersey. And things haven't changed in the last fucking 25 years.
Same shit. Yet. Have you seen the Rob Schneider commercial?
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's a Saturday Night Live gig they're doing now.
Yeah, genius. Whoever's doing it, fucking genius.
Right. I love it. It's great. It's better than the freaking average commercials that they're throwing out there that they fucking pound you with every freaking time. You can escape that shit with Red Zone, but I don't know. Something about Red Zone feels cheap. Something about Red Zone I just don't like.
Well, I was telling you, when I watch that, I feel like I watch nothing. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I need Adderall like Wes Walker does. But when you watch all the shit, all you're seeing is this touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. You don't really see anything that builds up to it.
So right.
To me, like if the Patriots are on, I'm watching them. I can't do this back and forth. So, I don't know. It's just, it's not for me. And I have the ticket, but I don't have the Red Zone channel and don't care to pay for it. I mean, shit, if it's that good, I'll go flip the channel to it. It's not that hard.
It's the process. Well, I'm about to get thrown out of my house. I'm going through a messy breakup, and I don't think I can afford having the channel anymore. Is there a way you can get all that shit on the internet?
I just talked to my folks about it today. They've got Comcast or something, and they asked me to go look. So yeah, I'm gonna do some research for you. But there's gotta be. I mean, you can do it on your. That's what the Drew Brees commercial. Literally, it seems like when you watch TV, all you see is Drew Brees and Peyton Manning doing goddamn commercials. But the one that Peyton Manning's doing is Verizon. And it's like the Fios thing, and I think it goes to your phone, so you can watch it live and whatever it is.
Yeah.
So there's hope for you. Just don't get too bummed out about the breakup.
I prefer to listen to Gil and Gino, although Gino just retired, but I just prefer to listen to it on the radio because I have to watch the Patriots every fucking Sunday, kid. It's just, you know, it's since I was 6 years old, for better or for worse, you know, and I got to find a way somehow, some way in my creepy little fucking one-bedroom apartment in fucking Pomona, California. Then I'm going to fucking... I got to find a way to listen to games, right? Yeah, got to see the games. And I can't believe, and I've said this a thousand times, I'll say it to anybody else who listens, I can't believe they don't put Monday Night Football on regular fucking TV anymore.
Oh, because it's on ESPN?
Yeah. It's a bullshit. It should be some. It should be a real revolution about that shit because it's fucking dumb.
So Thursday nights now are on CBS, correct?
Thank goodness.
Or no, the NFL Network with Nance and...
On CBS. Starting now, it's on CBS.
All right, so...
Yeah, last few years, it's been on NFL Network.
And like half the... 90% of the world didn't have that channel, and it was tough to watch, and always shitty games, too.
What? The Thursday night games?
Yeah. That's the big... The big drawback is it's always kind of terrible games.
I think any NFL game is worth watching, unfortunately. Although at the end of it, you're always like, fuck, I just wasted 3.5 hours of my life watching these games. All of them at any point. But speaking of commercials, I'm very excited. There's bacon and cheese now in a stuffed crust. Oh, man. I've given up pizza, to be honest with you, lately. I'd rather just go freaking DiGiorno. I think DiGiorno's better than any freaking pizza pie you can get going. And out here in this freaking chain, you know, there's no local chains. There's no fucking Papagino's anywhere.
No, no doubt.
I digress. Digression. That's one of the vocab words for my students teaching senior English. Have a freaking vocab list. Give me a vocab word for next week. You can't think of anything. That's why I bring you on.
I don't even know what one is.
You couldn't even think of a fucking vocab word.
I remember this teacher, she asked me, could I tell the difference between a vocab, a noun, and plural or whatever? And I was like, I honestly don't know. She's like, how did you get it?
Even right now, could you tell me what is a noun?
Yes, obviously.
What is a noun?
Person, place, or thing.
All right, very good. What's a verb?
Action.
Yeah, fair enough. What's a preposition?
Exactly.
No idea. Nobody has any fucking idea about anything except Johnny Manziel.
Can I ask you, what's the point of telling a kid that?
What?
Teaching a kid that. The kid is not... That I mean, the kid's not going to be able to use that when he gets older.
That's not true. I think teaching facts, for my last 2 minutes, I think teaching facts is important because if you teach facts, you're given the dots and the connected dots. And people say, oh, you got to teach higher level thinking. I think if you teach facts, you give them a bunch of dots and they can start connecting in their brain and how things work. And if you teach them what a preposition is, you can understand how language evolves. Preposition, what it does, it gives description to a noun. So you say, idiot on the seat. So you give them description to a noun. It's similar to an adjective in some ways, but... Whatever. I don't want to fucking talk too much English, but I am an English teacher nowadays.
I start having bad flashbacks.
No, but if you give people a bunch of information, they can start putting shit together and start fucking making sense and start being wise. And I go through this shit all the time with people in the education field. As long as people know facts, look at all the smartest people I know a lot of shit. They know a lot of facts. So you got to give them facts. Here's a fact. Johnny Cleveland. Freaking,
Jesus.
I know, kid. Are we ever going to fucking escape it? Give me a prediction when Johnny Manziel is going to freaking do damage.
Week six? Hoyer looked good today.
Hoyer's a solid quarterback with a team that plays good defense. So
he's going to get hurt, and Johnny Manziel is going to come on in.
Last thing I want to talk about is only fucking a minute and a half left. They talked about watching that Michigan State game, that Notre Dame game. Last time Michigan State played a top 10 team and lost was Notre Dame in 1966. Made me think, what the fuck were they doing in 1966 where the AP, the Associated Press, was voting the national championship? Because what happened in that game is they tied. Michigan State tied with Notre Dame. 0-0. Alabama was undefeated. Yet, Michigan State was voted number one. Notre Dame was voted number two. And... switch that. Notre Dame was voting number one. Michigan State was number two. Alabama undefeated was voting number three. How the fuck did these people vote back in 1966 without watching these games like we watch now? You know what I mean? You listen to the radio and be like, that team sounds better than the other team that fucking lost. How does that? It's mind blowing, right?
It's mind blowing.
You think if you needed a playoff, it would be in 1966.
You're right.
Ah, Norm, right? It's a few times. But seriously, it's bullshit. How could you fucking have someone vote on this team's better than this team, and I watch them through a little 6-inch grainy TV, you know, and fucking, I watched it half a time at a bar one time, and I'm thinking this team is better than the other team. How has a playoff not evolved since 1966? Fucking A. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. You don't know what you're saying anymore because we're fucking done. I'm the coach. This is Ingles. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you next week. Later.